The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America. Streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with you on this beautiful Friday. It's the 19th of August. It's also the second round for the Wyndham Championship, so we'll talk about what's going on in the PGA Tour as everybody winds down to the Wyndham Championship, who's still trying to make it into the FedEx Cup playoffs and even possibly get Davis Love's attention for some Ryder Cup love if it comes down to that. So a lot of drama going on in Greensboro, North Carolina. We'll give you the details on that coming up in just a little bit. Also, the women about ready to start their third round of individual play at the Olympics. First time the women have ever played golf in the Olympics. Inbee Park shoots a 66 yesterday. She has a one-shot lead over American Stacey Lewis, who fired a 63 yesterday, an 8-under 63, and she is just one shot back. Jarena Pillar for the United States at 136, just four shots back. She shot a 67 yesterday. So we'll also keep you updated on what's going on in the Women's Olympic Golf Championship down in Rio de Janeiro. A lot of news coming out of Rio that we'll talk about as well, involving Ryan Lochte and the swimmers, and it looks like they're all getting to go home. And what an unbelievable story this has developed into, international incident over a broken bathroom door and maybe some fabrication of some facts. So a lot of stuff going on with that as well. And unfortunately, it's kind of stolen a lot of the thunder from all the phenomenal things the U.S. team has done down in Rio de Janeiro. Join us today again, as they have the last yesterday as well. Frank Bassett and Brendan Sweeney are down in French Lick, Indiana at the French Lick Resort for the LPGA Legends Championship, which will be Saturday and Sunday on Brendan Sweeney's favorite Pete Dye golf course down there. So, Brendan, Frank, how are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Hey,
good.
Tim, how are you?
It's hot.
We're pretty good.
It's a little toasty here, isn't it?
It's not hot.
Is it? It is hot. Is it just me?
It's just you.
Sweating out the
you're having heat flashes.
We had a great pairing party last night. A big turnout. Great food. Had a little issue with the food line. What was that roundabout that they put there?
they put me on top of this hill for a reason.
it got a little jammed up, but we did get fed. I just stayed at the bar.
We raised. We had the silent auction, and raised nearly $70,000 for the Riley kids last night.
Yeah,
had Brad from Riley's told his story about when he was 2 years old and was diagnosed with a myopic kidney.
Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, that's what we're here for. I mean, all the stories are sad, but it always seems to have a light at the end of the tunnel. We were with Ashton Brown last night.
Yes.
Who was one of our Riley kids for the last couple of years, and she actually landed a gig on Golf Channel, and she's a PA at the Morning Drive. So.
Ah, cool.
Yeah, we're here with John Ashton from Those Weekend Golf Guys.
Hey, John Ashton.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah. Turn John up just a touch.
Turn me up.
There you go.
Turn
that's better.
Turn me on. Hey, Tim. One other event that's going on, the U.S. Amateur.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Up in Oakland Hills, up in Detroit. And to tie in the French Lick reference, Dylan Meyer beat Sam Horsfield yesterday to reach the quarterfinals. Last week in Chicago, Dylan Meyers beat Sam Horsfield to win the Western Amateur. But all roads lead through French Lick, Indiana. Dylan played for University of Illinois with the Big Ten Championships here back in 2014. And Sam Horsfield in 2014 played for the state of Florida in the USGA Men's State Team Championship that was held here at the Pete Dye Course in French Lick, Indiana, deep in the heart of the Hoosier National Forest. Absolutely.
So to speak.
So with that going on,
driving down I-64, man, as soon as you see the sign that says now entering the Hoosier National Forest, you know you're close.
I saw animals running across the highway as I was coming in.
They have animals in Indiana. They do.
And then
we have Pokemon, too. We have a big Pokemon fest.
Pokemon fest. Great. Good. Tim, get control of your show, man.
I'm trying to. No hope on that one, though. Hey, by the way, Rafa Cabrera Bello, we may remember, played pretty well in the Olympics. He left the Olympics and got out of town, just like Ryan Lochte, ahead of the posse. And he's the guy who's, along with Kevin Na, in the lead at the at the Wyndham Championship. And here's what's interesting about what's going on in the PGA Tour. Again, they move into the from here to the Barclays, the Deutsche Bank, BMW for the Tour Championship. So it's all coming down to the playoffs now. And you look at the standings, and there's some numbers that are pretty close. Some guys that are right on the number. Wee Kim, as a matter of fact, is at 125. The one top 125 make it into the playoffs. Matt Jones, Sung Kang is at 123. Sung Kang opened with a 3-under. So for a lot of these guys, they're keeping an eye on where they need to be. At the other end of it, the guy's at 126. Scott Stallings is at 126. Kyle Stanley at 127. Nick Taylor at 128. And all these other guys, Morgan Hoffman, had a very good tournament last week, is at 131. Well, they're all needing to move up 5, 6, 8, 10 spots, and that's doable. If you're too far back, you know, you probably don't have a realistic chance of moving up 30 or 40 spots. But for the guys that are in the 130, 135 range, they definitely could move up, and it means an awful lot. You not only get into the playoffs, you make more money. You have a chance to then advance, as Jerry Kelly has done in the past, that you do well enough in the first tournament, and you go to the next one. So you do well enough in the Barclays, and you make it into the Deutsche Bank. So some guys that right now aren't even in the playoffs period, we could be seeing all the way down the line in the Tour Championship. It could happen, and that's kind of the drama of it, and that's what's neat about this time of year and how they set up the playoffs. Oh, how long has it been now, Frank? 10 years, 12 years ago that they set up the FedEx Cup playoffs, somewhere around there? And for this reason, so that now you have some drama. Otherwise, it was just, the season ends, and you kind of go, okay, what? Well, now it means something, and everybody's, just like in any other sport, fighting for that playoff spot, and you never know where you're going to go. We were talking, Frank, about Jerry Kelly. What a resurgence this guy has had at the age of 49, you know?
Unbelievable. Yeah, you know, he won the Players' Championship and then went into obscurity after that. He changed his swing, and he admits to that, and he never could get it back.
Well, he's a Wisconsin guy. And, you know, Wisconsin played here in the Big Ten Championship.
Wisconsin is just north of French Lake, Indiana, if you didn't know that.
just a snowball's throw away. Yeah, but, I mean, you look at someone like Rob Oppenheim as well. I mean, he's projected, you know, he's at 155 now, and if he catches on fire, he just got his card last year. He's an Orlando guy, went to Rollins.
Has he been to French Lake?
No, he hasn't.
Hey, here's the interesting story in this whole thing is Jim Furyk. Former FedEx Cup champion, Tour champion.
He played here.
He did play here. He's 106th right now, projected to move up six spots if he continues. He's 4-under. And Furyk yesterday was interviewed by our very own Doug Bell, which we don't have that audio today for you, but I listened to the interview. It was very interesting. Furyk was frustrated, totally frustrated. He said, "Look, I'm close to the edge here, and my season's over if I don't play well this week. I have to play well." And I think that's the general theme of most of these guys that are out there. I mean, they are playing for their life, 125 and above.
Yeah.
You know, get the card next year, and plus they get to move on into the FedEx Cup playoffs. So there's some high drama at this tournament this week.
Oh, it's also a course that we were talking about this the other day, Brennan, that the women, you guys are going to be playing about 6,100 yards or so, I think you said, for the women.
Yep.
And they all look forward to it. It's a very challenging course, but it can be a difficult course. There's certainly some high numbers for the women, just like there have been for the Champions Tour when they had the PGA Championship there for the champions. And
that'd be some the senior PGA Championship.
Senior PGA, and some guys were, you know, complaining about it. Well, you usually complain when you're not playing well, right? It's the course's fault. It's your club's fault. It's your caddy. It's something other than you.
Forced to eat alive full of thistles.
These women.
Bunch of Eeyore.
The women are looking forward to playing there, aren't they?
They love it. And, you know, we had the Pro-Am. We have two waves of the Pro-Am that are going off today. So, Holla Stacey's out there. She's having a blast. And, you know, she's in the Hall of Fame. Cindy Miller, Pat Bradley. Gail Graham, Lisa Grimes, Julie Inkster.
Blaylock.
Janie's out there.
Janie's out there.
And they're poking along. They get it. I mean, these ladies are playing for not only for the Riley kids, but they're playing for a paycheck as well. The winners will walk away with about $40,000. And, you know, when the LPGA.
It's a good week.
You know, when they signed up all their TV contracts back in the day, you know, the PGA Tour took off and they got a killer retirement fund. Well, these ladies in the LPGA. You know, the bus passed them up. The money just wasn't there to fund their retirement. So they're actually, they have full-time jobs. They're moms, they're teachers, and they come out and they're still playing. And the group that comes out and watches them remember them in their prime, and it's sort of like a step back in time, sort of like a Field of Dreams here at French Lick. So that's how we're going to wrap it up this week.
Well, it's going to be a great tournament, too. Who holds the course record here?
Sherry Steinhauser, shot a 63 2 years ago. First time seeing a course. And then we call it the Pete Tye Dead Cat Bounce. She came back with, that was the Macapelle girl, shot a 66, followed with an 82 the next day.
That's a Calcavecchia swing, isn't it? Mark shot an 84 the first day here in the Senior PGA Championship.
Presented by KitchenAid.
Deep in the heart of the Hoosier National Forest, by the way.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Still remember Rocco Mediate after his practice round was interviewed, and he said he loves Pete Dye courses, but obviously Pete was a little angry the day he built this one.
He did say that, didn't he? Obviously, Pete was a little angry the day he built this course. We hammered a lot, but I'll be honest with you, Tim, and everybody, it's a fabulous golf course. It's a very playable golf course. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a golf course that's meant for it to be played as a resort, a destination, true destination resort course, but it also is a championship golf course.
And what?
This golf course can be played several different ways. And how many tee boxes do you have on each? Yeah, seven tee boxes. How can you not get your game in place on this golf course? It's very easy.
Well, we normally go lost balls. So I shot a 92 the other day. Nine lost balls and two pars.
So you and like Brendan, don't you tell the story that that Mr. Dye designed some of the course on a cocktail napkin or something
all
like
of
that?
All of it. Yeah, he came out here for the site inspection, and they moved 22 million cubic tons of dirt. They just chopped the top off this mountain in Mount Airy. And he came out and he walked the course, and he came back to Dave Harner and Steve Ferguson, and he says, it ain't going to happen. Then he went back to his room, and he literally yanked out a cocktail napkin and got some old topo maps and designed the course, literally, and came back the next day, and he says, I could do it. So we had a bunch of different designers that were up here. Fuzzy had a team. The Joneses were up here. A few others. And we decided to go with Pete. Pete's a Hoosier. And he really had a passion, and he really hit it off with Steve Ferguson, and he designed a killer golf course.
Did Gil Hans put in a bid for this?
No.
He did not?
No,
okay.
He did not. But Doak took a look at it, and it was neat. It was, just the whole Hoosier feel, and with the renovation of the property and what the Cook Group has and what they've done, they dumped $600 million. They built a $27 million golf course in the middle of a forest, really. And
on top of a mountain.
And since 2009, we've hosted, I think this is our 15th championship, with the Big Tens and the seniors and the USGA and the LPGA and the LPGA Legends. Yeah, we're clipping along. So hopefully we get the NCAA bids. We put the bids in last week for 19, 20, 21, and 22. So hopefully we get that.
That would be fabulous.
And Frank, you brought up Gil Hans, and he, of course, the designer down in Rio for the Olympic golf course that the women are playing on now, that the men played on last week. And so far, all the reports are that everybody's really enjoyed the golf course. It was an old ranch, a cattle ranch, that has some inland waters. But if you look at the aerial pictures, they're not far from the ocean. I mean, literally about a driver, two drivers away from the ocean. And turned into a course that a lot of people are saying he did a marvelous job, considering we've talked about this even a year ago, Frank, or even more recently than that, 6 months ago. There was a lot of concern this course was not going to be ready for the Olympics. And the money wasn't coming in like it was supposed to be. The Brazilians weren't doing what they had committed to do, on and on and on. But they got it done, and I think Hans deserves a lot of credit for putting this course together. From what I've seen, it is a beautiful golf course.
Tim, one of the LPGA legends assisted Gil Hans.
That's right.
And the ladies, Amy Elcott, World Golf Hall of Fame member, but she set up the ladies' design of it, and she was here the first 2 years of the championships. But last year she was dedicated down to Rio, and this year she's obviously down there as well. So yeah, Amy Allencock, she's a good friend of the show and good friend of the resort and an LPGA legend, World Golf Hall of Fame member. So
speaking of Olympics, have you guys kept up with that? I guess now over. We're hoping drama involving the U.S. swimmers.
No, what happened?
Really? They don't get TV nothing about this. Yeah.
My name
TV
is Miguel.
Was invented
I'm a flight
in the
attendant today.
Forest.
In case of emergency, the oxygen mask will come down. If you are sitting next to an Olympic swimmer, please raise your hand.
Here's my question about all that. My understanding is that I'm just going to call it like I see it. Okay, ransom was paid by one of our swimmers, 10, 11,000, whatever it was, and they let them go after their statements. But, and I'm not sure about this, but on one network they said, but they're still holding their passports. Now, how do they get back into this country without their passport?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
So
I didn't
they go
hear
back,
that.
What?
That they,
like John said.
Obviously,
good morning,
obviously,
America.
Ryan Lochte, who told the story, has been back in the United States for a few days already, so he didn't have any issues with that, although they acted like they wanted to go back to Brazil, and that wasn't going to happen. But then the other two Americans you're talking about, which are Gunnar Bentz and Jack Conger. Both got on the plane, got taken off the plane, and they were supposed to be joined by the fourth, which is James Fagan, and Fagan didn't make the plane, so he didn't get taken off the plane and didn't get talked to by the police. They have a news conference yesterday after they talked to both Conger and Bentz. And they kind of clear up the whole thing and let them go because they both arrived early this morning, I believe, in Miami. So they're both here. Fagan, who's the guy who didn't show up for the plane and nobody was really sure where he was, the word is now he's being allowed to leave, but he will have to donate, is the term they're using, $10,800 equivalent U.S. dollars to an institution. Then he's allowed to leave the country. That institution, I guess they're saying that's a charity, but they called it an institution. And I don't know why he's paying $10,800, what he did, and why he is, and the other guys, that as far as I know, didn't pay anything. Why is one guy being asked to pay $10,000 or $11,000? It's still kind of confusing.
It's ransom. It's ransom. Well,
you know, I'm a cynic from way back.
No, not you, John.
As I remember the story when I first heard about it, it was Lochte's mom who tweeted out that this happened.
Right.
And I think this whole international incident happened because Lochte lied to his mother about what he did.
Oh, no. That's a different spin on it. I haven't heard that. So if you lie to your mom, there are consequences.
That's right. Don't lie to
and
mama.
She told some media people. The story got back, and they went and interviewed Lochte, and he kind of had to then, here's what happened, and remember what it is he told his mom. Well, that's a possibility. But here's the thing.
Dude, your mom's hot, man.
Lord.
She's swimming.
People were saying this whole thing might have been
got robbed. Yeah. Tell her we got robbed.
Hey, Tim, what do you think? What do you think the financial long-term, you know, these guys win. Well, how much does it cost in marketing dollars? You know, if they're getting slapped around like this, you're not going to sponsor.
You win money for winning medals. So, I mean, you win $25,000 for gold, $15,000 for a silver, and $10,000 for bronze. So, Lochte walked away, and the other guys did. I think they're all in the different relays. They all made some money, if you will, going there. But as far as endorsement-wise, Lochte has a name. Lochte actually had a reality show. It was kind of Wheels Off. But he had a reality show after the London Olympics.
This is my mom. We're on the couch. And my mom's
in
the
room. Yeah, that's kind of what it was.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, But Lochte.
But Bentz and Conger and Fahey are not going to have any kind of endorsement reality.
No.
There's nothing really coming their way. So they're not going to be hurt by this. Lochte might be. But then again, Lochte is kind of known as a doofus. So he might just get another
show.
He might just get
my
another
mom's
show
couch.
Out of this, you know? Yeah. I mean, he's what he is.
Got to get control of Brendan today.
No.
Hey, here's my question. They win $25,000 for winning a gold medal, right?
Gold medal.
They pay 30% tax on that, is my understanding.
Okay.
Now, why do our ambassadors, these guys are ambassadors, I think we would all agree, they're ambassadors, not acting like it, but they're ambassadors of the United States of America.
Anti-government.
Here we go. Get your gun.
He's holding his gun while he's saying this, sir.
Our ambassadors.
Literally, his hand is in the air right
it
now.
It is.
He's preaching.
Our ambassadors don't pay taxes.
You're scaring the children, man.
Hey, dude. They don't pay taxes. Why should these guys pay taxes on representing America as a goodwill ambassador to the exceptionalism of the United States of America and our athletes outside of Lochte?
Because you're kind of stretching the ambassador part, you know.
I guess. But
all these people are not there going and spreading cheer. They're going there and you know, partying at night and swimming or running or high jumping or, you know, playing handball.
Well, John Ashton said this morning.
Like Brendan does all the time.
There you go. They're frat boys.
They're frat boys.
Yeah. Frat boys. Yeah.
And acting like
so I prefer to call them fraternities here in Indiana.
Yes, I was a fraternity. Yeah. So, yeah.
So it is a weird. I will say this, though, in their defense, while people were acting like, oh, they totally made this story up, the facts are that they went in this men's room at a gas station. Apparently, the door is locked. They wouldn't unlock the door. They kicked in the door, caused vandalism there, caused some damage. When they went to leave,
gotta go to the can
a security guy came up who had a gun in a uniform, said, you can't leave. You did some damage. He made him sit down. He pulled out his gun. He didn't put it at Lochte's temple, like he said, but he did pull out his gun, made him sit down with their hands up, and gave some money, reparations for the door they broke or something like that. If Lochte and these other guys were kind of wasted, which it sounds like they were, then maybe they were confused that this guy was a security guy, not a cop. But he did have a gun, pulled it out in uniform, made him sit on a curb, hold up their hands, gave him some money. So the story for people to act like, oh, is a total fabrication. A lot of the facts are there. Now, they forgot to mention we kicked in a door. But
it was 6:30 a.m. They've been out all night.
My point is that one of the guys might have kicked in the door, while the other guys, you know, they didn't all go together to the restroom. When the other guys went into the bathroom, maybe the door's already kicked in. They didn't know one of their guys caused the damage. There's a lot of things that could be confused. It just became this international incident over a broken bathroom door that apparently cost $10,800 in Rio. I didn't know that was that fine a men's room.
Anderson doors, or is that windows?
Belly doors.
Pella. Anyway, well, let's get back on golf. There's a lot of golf going on.
Frank, let's get back to it after you take a break. Let's get everybody back in control. And I'm trying to do this so that Brendan could get another Bloody Mary handled between segments.
You have no idea.
To Golf Talk America
here
on PJ Tour Radio. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us. Welcome back, Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with you on this Friday, the 19th of August, early in the second round of the Wyndham Championship in Greensboro, North Carolina. And Brett Stegmaier is now at 3-under through six holes, so he's off to a pretty good start here in the second round. He is at 7-under, joining Kevin Na and Rafa Cabrera-Bello at 7-under, and neither Cabrera-Bello or Na have teed off yet, so they'll be going later on this afternoon. Michael Kim is at 6-under, along with Patton Kizzire is also at 6-under. Bud Cauley at 5-under. So the guys are out there trying to make a move in the Ryder Cup points as well as in the FedEx Cup playoffs. And right now, Michael Kim's made the biggest move. Again, I said he's 5-under on the day today, so he's birdied half the holes, or he's at least 5-under after 10 holes. And he has moved up currently 54 spots. If it stands where it is right now. Of course, we have a lot more golf to be played, but that's what's going on at the Wyndham Championship as guys are trying to make their moves to get into the BMW Championship and the Deutsche Bank and the Barclays and try to get into the playoff picture, as well as, again, possibly getting some Ryder Cup points if they need that, or at least getting the attention as a captain's pick from Davis Love. As far as the women are concerned, they're playing at Rio in the first ever women's event. And most of the leaders are still yet to tee off. NB Park yesterday shot a 66. Stacey Lewis shot a 63. Park is at 10-under, and Stacey Lewis is at 9-under, so they have the lead. Charlie Hull out of Great Britain is at 8-under par. So all kind of Brooke Henderson of Canada also at 8-under. All kind of log jam at the top. There were some big names on the LPGA Tour. They're going for the first ever gold medal in women's golf down in Rio de Janeiro. As we talked earlier, Brendan Sweeney and Frank Bassett are joined by John Ashton down at, or up in, from where I'm at, French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana, home of the LPGA Legends Championship, which will take place on Saturday and Sunday. And the libations are flowing in French Lick. Was probation ever an issue, Brendan? Was probation ever an issue at the French Lick Resort back in the 20s and 30s?
Actually, Orange County, so we're about an hour south of Indianapolis, hour and a half, and it was sort of like a lawless society back in the 20s and 30s, and we had all the trains that were coming through here, so it was a big Chicago crowd that would come down, and at one time there was reported to have like 13 casinos in the town.
Illegal casinos.
Well, they would say illegal.
Would we call them illegal?
The government of Indiana turned a blind eye to the southern part.
I understand.
To Orange County. So when the renovation, there was down in Lake Patoka, which is just south of us.
Beautiful. That's crystal clear lake, by the way.
Oh, it's amazing.
Beautiful.
This was a dam project. Remember that movie with Morgan Freeman and I think Kristen Slater when they flooded out the town, they robbed the banks?
Yes.
That was filmed
Black
down
Rain.
There.
Black Rain, I think.
Yes. Yeah,
oh,
that
really?
Yeah, it was filmed down there when they flooded the town. But there was an old casino license that was down there, and part of the deal was when the Cook Group invested all the money, they brought up the license. So that's how we had the casino here. So
it's a great casino, by the way.
Yeah, so it's an old dormant casino, and there's, 13 licenses in the state of Indiana. We have one. So it's a privately held casino, Blue Sky Resorts.
Yeah. So let me ask you guys about
it. And it pays off, too, by the way.
The FedEx Cup playoffs that are coming up, and a lot of these guys are playing in the Wyndham, trying to get into the FedEx Cup playoffs. Anybody caught your attention? And I guess the one name I'm going to come up with, and you guys would probably say the same thing, but anybody else that catches your attention who hasn't really made too much noise this year but might make some noise come to the playoffs and maybe even get a chance to play in the Ryder Cup? Matt Kuchar, I think, got everybody's attention, kind of coming from way back in the pack to get the bronze medal at the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. John, what do you think?
I am very, very much a homeboy. And Justin Thomas, who's a friend of the show, his dad's a friend of our show. We're all from Louisville, Kentucky. You know, he doesn't get a whole lot of FaceTime on TV. Won one tournament this year so far, but he's still doing very well in the FedEx Cup standings. And I mean, he's my man. I think if he finally just stopped trying to outdo his buddy Jordan Spieth, he might actually. No, just concentrate on his game, and he could do very well. I'm pulling for him.
Well, we were talking in the break, Tim and Brendan, Hunter Mahan. Hunter Mahan's been it's been disappointing to watch him this year. Very disappointing.
Yeah.
Inside info? What's going on with him?
Yeah, I don't know. Hunter sold his house to Jordan Spieth. You just mentioned Jordan, and that was, I guess, good for Jordan. But I don't know if it was a bad omen for Hunter Mahan. If you look at the rankings in the FedEx Cup playoffs, he's at 182. A very unrealistic chance that he's going to be in the FedEx Cup playoffs. And he was the guy that was a trivia question. He had played in every round of every FedEx Cup playoff event since the beginning up until last year. So he is very, very consistent over the last 10 years. Ryder Cups and President's Cups and on and on. The word is that he's messing with his swing a little bit back here in Dallas.
Boy.
And once you start doing that, you know, and you think you're going to get a little bit better, you kind of oftentimes you go the opposite way. And not to usually the extent of Hunter Mahan, but Hunter was a fixture. I mean, we're talking about a guy who normally would be mentioned in the same breath as Brent Snedeker and Adam Scotts and the guys that are always in the top 10, top 15 in the world and making all the tournaments and the majors and everything else and making noise in majors. And you never even hear the name until we just mention it. When's the last time anybody said something about Hunter Mahan?
Well, Jerry Kelly, you know, changing a swing. This message brought to you by Do Not Take Lessons from Your Local PGA Pro, right? I mean, it's a joke. But, I mean, every time you start tweaking with that swing, you're right, Tim. A lot of times you go in the opposite direction for a while. And the comeback from that, the frustration level, you multiply it because now you overcompensate the other way.
So, you know, I can understand an amateur like us.
Let's go to Bruce Litsky. Bruce Litsky. Oof. Not only never changed his swing, he never practiced. He never took lessons.
No.
He never did anything. But he had his game. He won. He's not a Hall of Famer, but he had a very, very good professional career. And I think he won 6-7 tournaments. He won 2 Byron Nelsons. I know that. So he won a Colonial. So he's done very, very well. And he went in between tournaments. He'd put his bag down and wouldn't play because he was a big family guy. He'd go on vacation with his family for a month and would never pick up a club for a month, which is kind of unheard of, right, for golfers. They're just addicted to holding their golf clubs and practicing all the time. He could have cared less. And so sometimes that might be the extreme, but I think sometimes guys have to take a little pointer from that and say, don't overcook the stew. You know, just let it – you've all gotten to where you're at because you're good, and let it just develop.
Brendan?
I'm going to switch to Nike golf clubs.
Get out of them. They don't make them anymore.
There's a sale going on.
Buy them cheap, which is why he's doing it.
Maybe some hickories. Why don't we bring out the hickory open?
Mitch Lawrence. We ought to do that. Mitch Lawrence does that. Lawrence's brother.
We're, you know, not to go totally off track, but why not? Next year we're having our 100th anniversary of the Donald Ross golf course. We're having a big hickory open next year. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But, Tim, I think a lot of these guys, they start tweaking around with stuff. And how many people are in their head? you know, you have an entourage of 8 to 10 people telling you what to do all the time. And someone like Bruce Liske probably just walked away from the crowd and said, forget it, I'm my own guy. So,
well, in the old days, I say the old days, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, Trevino didn't have an entourage. Nicklaus didn't have an entourage. Palmer had his manager, and that was about it. They didn't have
in his army.
Well, a head coach, a strength coach, a conditioning coach, or this coach, or that coach.
Yeah. Well, back then, if you want to, you know, if you win a tournament now, you're an instant millionaire.
I know. So, well, the money's incredible, thanks to Tiger Woods, basically.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, so it has changed. It has changed the dynamics, and I think a lot of these guys do have too many voices in their head. I mean, guys like Brendan have voices in their head. But it's not coaching. It's a whole different thing.
It's a crazy place, man. It's a dark place.
That's why you hear in the middle of the show, Brendan starts going, no, but I don't want to go there. What did you tell me? What? He's got voices telling him. He has no idea what he's actually talking about. Hey, here's another name for you guys I want to throw out there, who I think is on the cusp of becoming a Ryder Cupper, President's Cup, and possibly probably even a major winner, and that's Brooks Koepka. He's got a great game.
You bet.
He's always around, but he's not really there enough that everybody's expecting much of him. But Brooks Koepka is a long hitter. He's got the game. I think Brooks Koepka is a guy who we got to keep our eye on, and maybe it starts in the FedEx Cup playoffs here, and we'll see what happens, and we'll see if he's going to be a Ryder Cup. Right now in the standings, he's 17th in the current FedEx Cup playoffs, so he's in great position, but he's not a top 10 kind of guy just yet. But I think Brooks Koepka is a name that we got to keep on the front of our brains here, that he's a guy that's, I think, going to be making a move here pretty quickly.
He's an incredible player. I mean, he wrote, my gosh, Rick Sharp, who is the photographer for the LPGA Legends Tour, just walked by in the goofiest hat and United States of America flag pants. That's, I lost my total train of thought when he walked by and all that.
Make fun of my head, Tim.
Yeah, seriously.
God. Good Lord. Where was I going? Hey, here's, you know what? There's one guy who's we talked about in the break, who's won, and you're good friends with his wife. Y'all work together at CBS.
Fox,
he's won
actually.
Two tournaments.
Yeah.
Stephen Bowditch, 2 years in a row, he's won tournaments. And where is he now? Where's his ranking? He's way down there. What's happened to him?
He's not even a thought for most people. He's at 178. Just to give you an idea, Justin Leonard, who hardly ever plays, is at 180. So, yeah, I mean, that's how far back Stephen Bowditch is. For a guy,
terrible.
Again, who has not, I mean, he's won two tournaments, but has a really hard time breaking 80 now. Oftentimes, when you watch him in the tournament, he'll shoot 78, 80, 81, 79. He's all around there. I have no idea what's going on with him. He's obviously got some issues that he's got to clear up. But that's how quickly, I mean, he's a winner twice in the last 2 years. So, I mean, that's how quickly your game can just disappear, because it's not that long ago that he's been a champion. And you know how tough it is to win on the PGA Tour. He's not winning, you know, on a minor tour. He's not winning against small fields or anything else. He's winning major events, well, not major tournaments, but big-time PGA events. And suddenly he can't find a 70, 71 to save his life. It is kind of amazing. That's the scary
thing about
golf.
Here's another guy close to death. He's at 110. That's Boo Weekly. He's right there. He doesn't have a good week this week. He could be, we'll see you later. Remember Boo at the Ryder Cup, how great he was for the team?
Yeah, great ball striker.
At Valhalla.
You know? I think Boo, you know, Boo is one of those guys that kind of you know, might want to go fishing and do some of those extracurricular things more than work on his golf game. And that's fine. If you've had a long career, he's had a pretty
You're
good
right.
career. Sometimes those guys are like, you know what, I just don't want to put the time in. And if you don't, you could be Tiger Woods or you could be Boo Weekly. If you don't put the time in, you're probably going to see the results. I'm more concerned about a guy who's at number 30 right now in the FedEx Cup playoffs. That's Ricky Fowler. Here's a guy that we've all admired, and we've all thought this guy's the next coming and everything's great. He's dropped all the way to 30th. Now, again, that's fine for getting in the playoffs and continuing through the playoffs. But, boy, he was a top 10 guy, just consistently a top 10 guy. And he did not do well at the Olympics. He was one of our representatives at the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Did not play well at the Olympics. So I'm not sure what's going on with Ricky Fowler. But he's kind of going the way of you know, some of these other guys that – you know, Bradley, who am I thinking of? Keegan Bradley.
You know, that was, yeah.
Actually,
that
his, like, aunt, wow, his aunt is playing here today.
We were with Pat last night. Yeah, she's great.
But they quickly rise, and they're fine, and everything's going forward, and you think they got the next 10 years, and then it kind of fade away a little bit. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with Ricky come playoff time. But, boy, he just hasn't been playing very well.
But if you look at Ryder Cup points, he's tied for 12.
Yeah. Yeah, he's up there on Ryder Cup points. I mean, he's doing okay. I mean, like I said, he's not. I mean, we all kind of thought he'd be challenging. Yeah, we thought he'd be challenging Dustin and Jordan and Jason Day. He'd be in that group. And his name, at least now, if you had to bring it up today, his name would not be in that group.
Well, how would you not think that after what he did at the Players' Championship? I mean, that was just a phenomenal performance, that final round of the Players' Championship. And to be there and watch it was even more impressive.
Well, was it the second or the third round in the Olympics when
Fowler went low?
He went real low.
Yeah, third round.
Okay,
third round. Yeah.
He's coming back. He's making a charge, and then the
fourth round, he went back up again.
Blew up again. Yeah,
yeah. Because I think after the first round, I think he was fifth from last or something. He shot like a 77, right, in the first round, and they were like, "Whoa, come on, Ricky." So it's just
good haircut, though.
It's such a weird game when it comes to between their ears and what can happen and how the confidence can go through the roof and suddenly you turn into, you know, the Jordan Spieth and the guys who kind of come out of nowhere quickly and play well. And then it goes the other way very quickly, too.
Here's a question for the whole group here. What about the guys who didn't go to the Olympics? Do you think they're kind of looking back now and saying, wow, did I make a mistake or what?
I think so. Because they're all talking about Drina Piller for the women. They asked her afterwards, and she's playing very well in the women's Olympic competition right now. They asked her. Well, a lot of the women, most of them did not back out because of Zika. And she said, literally said, just like Johnny Miller said on the air, she said, I haven't seen one mosquito since I've been here. So if the Zika problem was the issue, then I don't know what that's about. She said, I did have a beetle land on my arm. She said, that's as close to any bug that I've come to.
But no, Paul McCartney showed up.
no mosquitoes. So it is. I think a lot of them might be. But here's the thing, too, Frank, is the word I get is a lot of them were more concerned about security. Kind of the Ryan Lochte kind of thing might happen, right? If it actually happened. Yeah. That kind of thing was more scary to them than Zika. We all kind of jumped on Zika, but it was more security.
Well, I didn't like the fact that some of the statements were being made by some of the mainstream media, if you will, that they didn't want to do this because there wasn't any money involved. I think that's totally wrong. I think it was security, and I think security than Zika. Yeah.
Well, I think the media blew the whole Zika thing way out of proportion, or at least, you know, scared everybody.
Well, our government got involved in it, and the CDC, but it's a scare.
As a longtime married guy, you know, I say, if my wife said, listen, you got two choices. You can go down there and maybe get infected and screw up our family forever, or you can stay home. Your choice.
Yeah,
which choice are you going to make?
Ricky Fowler is a young bachelor.
Check the prenup.
Jordan Spieth's not married, you know, so I don't think that he's thinking his family, I don't think, at this point, although everybody was not sure how long, if you happen to get Zika, how long it stays in your system. So I get that was a concern. As a matter of fact, you guys have to remember, if it wasn't the CDC, somebody, and it wasn't the International Olympic Committee, but it was some international health organization, and maybe that's the name of it, said their recommendation was cancel the Olympics.
Right.
Big a problem. Cancel the Olympics. It's not worth people losing their lives and or birth defects, whatever might happen, so that you can play games is kind of how they put it. And some big major organization dealing with health said they should cancel. So it wasn't just the media kind of blowing it up. There were some doctors and very knowledgeable people saying this is a bad, bad situation.
I'd like to take a Sharpie out and circle the calendar and revisit this topic in a month to see if any of the people in the water sports got sick, anybody came home with it. And then once the PR ban has been lifted, you know, the cone of silence that's probably going on there right now.
Sure.
What the actual, you know, did someone get sick? Did, you know, how many people got, you know, robbed or whatnot? Because there are some issues also in the Olympic Village with a couple boxers.
Yeah.
You know, doing some assault charges. So, you gather a bunch of people in their 20s. It's sort of like college. You never know what's going to happen.
I also, I also think that Rory McIlroy's ill-advised comments kind of probably that,
now
led
that,
to...
That's something we haven't touched on the show. And Tim, I really want your opinion. Tim's a very seasoned broadcaster. Sure. And well, just you know what he said.
Because he went to one of the finest broadcasting schools in America.
SIU?
Thank you.
SIU, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah? Really? Seriously?
Seriously.
Oh, geez. Okay. Anyway,
Southern Indiana University.
McIlroy's comment was, he didn't, now, I don't want to misquote this young man, but it was something to the effect of he wasn't concerned about growing the game.
Wasn't his job to grow the game. Yeah.
Well, is that what he said?
That's paraphrasing, but that's close.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you say, I bet he, if he had a redo, he wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
I mean, you owe it back to the game of golf. I mean, you just do. If you rise to that level and you're on that much of a stage that he is, known all over the world, like Tiger Woods is known all over the world, it's a responsibility that you assume by virtue of the fact that that game's been so good to you, that you should do things to grow the game. Otherwise, we're in trouble. And those are the guys who people look up to, the kids look up to. And if they don't promote it and try to grow it in the right fashion, proper fashion, then who's going to? Your local PGA pro?
I think it's you could maybe chalk it up to youthful naivete. What's my word?
Naivete.
Yeah, I think he just doesn't really understand the scope sometimes when he has microphones in front of him. He's not a young guy as in he's 16. But, you know, he's a young athlete, and athletes are on a curve. So their maturity is usually a little bit delayed. So I think he's just not quite – when he was asked that, I don't think he was trying to say – as a matter of fact, my gut is if you asked him again, he'd say, yeah, I want to see young Irish kids and young South African kids and everybody else playing golf, and if I can help that, I'd love to do it. I think he was just saying – I'm not going to the Olympics because it doesn't fit for me, and therefore I'm not going to force myself to go so that I can help grow the game because I don't really feel like that's what I need to do is grow the game. And I don't agree with him. I'm with you, Frank. Yeah, you do need to grow the game. He didn't word it right, but I think he's a pretty good guy. So I think he probably just got caught up saying the wrong thing at the wrong time and probably regrets that he said.
Here's what he said. He said, I didn't get into golf to grow the game. I got into golf to win championships and to win majors. All of a sudden, you get to the point, and there's some responsibility on you to grow the game. And I didn't get in the game for that. That's what he said.
Yeah, that's a quote. That's a quote.
And he probably didn't get into the game to grow it because you don't know how good you're going to be. Once you're there, once you become Rory McIlroy and you become Tiger and Jack and all these other guys, then it becomes an obligation because, as we've all said, you know, to those who what's the quote? So much is given to, so much is expected of. You know, I mean, once you become Rory McIlroy, but I think if he's saying, I didn't get into it, thinking, when I was 12 years old, I wanted to help grow the game. No, he just wanted to go in and win a junior tournament. He wanted to win his club championship. He just wanted to win some golf tournaments. And I think that's probably universal for guys when they're starting the game. And maybe that's what he was trying to say. Now that he's there, I think he certainly knows his responsibility to grow the game and to try to be upstanding and try not to throw clubs, you know, all the things you try to golf course.
Going back to the Olympics, you know, what if they were allowed to wear, instead of the Adidas gear, what if they're allowed to wear their own branded gear? Here's your color pattern. It could do it. You think it would have been a different outcome?
Do you think that had anything to do with it?
Yes.
Really?
I don't think
so.
I do, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
With some of those guys not going because they couldn't wear their logoed apparel and in their contract, maybe?
But wouldn't you think it would build their brand?
Yeah, but I mean,
they still get their money, whether they're wearing Puma stuff or not. Puma's still paying them every bit. They're not taking anything out of you because you have to wear a Ryder Cup uniform that isn't Puma.
Yeah.
You know, that's I don't think that's a factor at all for those guys. They get all their money coming in regardless of what they're doing. And Puma's more than happy to have Ricky Fowler playing in Ralph Lauren as long as Ricky's out there. And they get the exposure of Ricky because you're really buying the player. Yeah, you want to have your logo on his hat and all that stuff. But I think for a few tournaments here and there, it's not a big deal.
You know, I thought it would have been a great idea for the Olympic Committee to sell some sponsorships on the shirts. Get a little income going on here for the cause.
Maybe for a legal slush fund.
they do in the sense that Ralph Lauren pays some top dollar to outfit those guys. So they are getting money for sponsorship.
Ralph Lauren got in a bit of a tussle, whatever you want to call it, tassel tussle, at the last Olympics because the uniforms were made in China. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
he said that'll never happen again. That will never happen again. And I'm a huge Ralph Lauren fan. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm a polo guy all the way. I love this stuff. Worn it for years.
So I'm wearing my Donald Trump suit right now.
Those are the ties.
Made in America.
I like that shirt, by the way, you've got on. That's a good-looking shirt.
By the way, Frank, Ralph Lauren one time flew his private jet right over top of the Hoosier National Forest. So there's the connection right there to French Lick.
He was waving at Brendan Sweeney's, tipping the wings.
The jet went right over top, 40,000 feet above it. Yep.
And?
I think you've heard his feelings.
Your point is?
Plane not taken. That's great.
We are, by the way, we haven't said it in a while, we are live from the beautiful Pete Dye Course in French Lick, Indiana. The French Lick Resort, site of the 2016 LPGA Legends Championship. Yeah,
we got a big night tonight. Elaine Crosby going into the Legends Hall
of
Fame.
Had her on yesterday. She was on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And then...
easy for you to say.
Exactly. We have just a lot of legends here today.
Yeah, a lot of legends are here.
Before we say goodbye here at the bottom of the hour.
Sandra Haney as well.
Let people know more about what's going on for this event. If they are in the area, that they could get over there and watch too, but also the website to go to if they just want to hang out and find out all the cool things about French Licks Resort.
This is our fourth LPGA Legends Championship presented by Old National Bank, benefiting the Raleigh's Hospital for Children, which is a very dear and near... charity to our heart here in Indiana. There's 92 counties. 300,000 kids get treated at Raleigh's every year. And over the last 4 years, we've had the privilege of meeting a lot of the Raleigh's families, a lot of the Raleigh kids. We'll raise close to $800,000 for this event. It's great to hear the stories. I'm a dad. I have three kids. Truly count your blessings. My kids are healthy, but you see these kids and they're bounced back. I mean, they have a Raleigh's day today. And tomorrow they're going to walk the courses. You know, that we have little kids are going to be a starter. If you want to donate, And no matter where you go in Indiana, you can walk in and mention Raleigh's and somebody knows somebody who has been through the doors. It's truly a humbling experience. If you go to FrenchLick.com, you click on the Legends tab, there's a Donate Here spot that you could do. Had a killer auction last night, raised close to $70,000. It goes directly, all the proceeds this week go directly there. And to have the support of John and his team with Those Weekend Golf Guys, Frank and Tim with Golf Talk America, and Matthew Lawrence is coming in from Lexington. A lot of press to press eats it up pretty good. It's a feel-good thing, and it's something that we could pause and reflect and give back to the community. So Dave Harner, Joe Bezozo, Steve Ferguson had the vision and got together with Jane Blaylock and her team to have the legends of the LPGA Tour come back. And as an annual gathering, they share stories and they BS with everybody. And they're great, great ambassadors for the game of golf. And they're continuing to grow the game of golf.
And your brand ambassador, Nancy Scranton, she's here playing. And her caddy is her husband, Mark. Mark also is in our family at the PGA Tour because he's part of PGA Tour Media.
Yeah, he's the media official for the PGA
media official
Tour.
For the PGA Tour. So, and Mark's here. So, a great New Zealander, great guy.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. These legends are something. Jane Blaylock still holds the record for the most consecutive cuts made.
299.
299. We asked her last year, Jane, what do you remember most? She said, number 300.
I'll bet. Yeah,
but you look, you have Julie Engster, who won last year.
Yeah.
She literally left here and went to go captain the Solheim Cup. Rosie Jones, Solheim Cup member, or captain. Donna Capone, Pat Bradley. Michelle McGann's here.
With a new golf bag, by the way, she designed. Beautiful.
Yeah. Michelle Redmond, she's a head coach up at the University of Minnesota. She went to IU up in Bloomington, so she's got a big thing. Lori Rinker, our champion from last year, was our Raleigh ambassador this year.
Larry's sister?
Larry and Lee.
Our family member, Larry Rinker, on PGA Tour Radio.
Yeah, so Larry played in a really killer band.
He did.
With Mark Lye, Payne Stewart, Larry Rinker, Jake Trout, and the Flounders.
That's exactly right. Love the one you whiff.
Yeah. And then I saw them play at the World Golf Championships at Kiawa. I think it was in 90 or 91. And Hootie and the Blowfish was playing in this tent, and it got so rowdy. Hootie opened up for Jake Trout and the Flounders.
Darius Rucker opened for them.
Yeah, it was great. And Mark Lai, every time I see Mark, I'm like, dude, Jake Trout and the Flounders. Yeah,
Darius, by the way, is a Nashville resident now. He plays a lot of golf. He has a great tournament that we do. We play every year.
Yeah.
That's a Hootie and the Blowfish, for heaven's
sake. It's a battle between Nashville and French Lick, between you two guys.
It is. And Louisville.
Hey, wait. Hold on a second.
No.
Look it up.
What?
The original name of Nashville, Tennessee was French Lick.
I knew it. I knew it was coming.
Look it up. It is the honest to God.
That's why we don't have tomato juice.
Yes, it is true. Wow. And there is actually a Nashville, Indiana, which is located about 20 miles east of here.
And there's something that's kind of close to what's going on at the Olympics. There's a little town down the road called Paoli. Paola.
There's Olytic. There's Lagodi. There's Shoals. There's some great towns here. Located around the Hoosier National Forest.
Let me tell you something. In all honesty, driving up, I went through the forest and took the back roads.
Did you see the trees?
But it's gorgeous, man. The rolling hills of Indiana and the cornfields that you drive through are absolutely. Have you ever done a cornfield maze? Have you done one of those before?
Yes, I have.
I've never done that. Are there a lot of snakes in those things?
My parents would put me in those every year and hoped I didn't come out.
Hey, I had 12 years.
I found my way back every time.
By the way, just as a quick attaboy to our good friend John Ashton, host of Those Weekend Golf Guys, we'll be switching off of this show, going straight to his show, which is nationally syndicated. So we'll be live in L.A. Maybe we can't get Tim to call in, though, from this remote, can we? Doggone it.
Yeah. Well, to get rid of him.
Well, that's a way to get rid of Tim, right?
We just found out, too, got an email from our syndicator. Every weekend, the number one golf show in Los Angeles, Las Vegas, and Orange County, California.
Well, there you go.
Yay!
There you go. Terrestrial.
Very nice.
Yeah,
very nice.
Terrestrial
broadcast. Golf Talk very America nice. Still reigns supreme.
Yeah, well,
okay, guys,
well,
let me
step outside, man.
We are outside.
I'll give you guys a bit of an update on what's going on here, because Lydia Ko just got a hole in one on the 8th. But it's the second hole in one in Olympic history, because about an hour ago, a Chinese woman whose name I don't remember on the same
or
hole.
Couldn't pronounce.
Yes, either way.
Her name
on the 8th hole also had a hole in one.
She hit one.
No.
There have been two hole in ones, both on the 8th hole for the women, and Lydia Ko just did it. So Lydia Ko is now 8 under for the tournament, and Envy Park had a birdie on her first hole. She's 11 under. So keep an eye on Lydia Ko. She's moving up the leaderboard pretty quickly here. And for the men at the Wyndham, it's still a three-man race right now. It's Kevin Na, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, and Siwoo Kim. Siwoo Kim is 5-under through 7 holes, so he's at 7-under as well, but he's off to a torrid start at the Wyndham Championship. Anything else we got to say, Frank, before we say goodbye?
Any of our listeners that are in this area, please come this weekend. It's going to be a fabulous tournament Saturday and Sunday here at the French Lick Resort, the Pete Dye Course, the LPGA Legends Championship, and you get up close and personal with all these gals. I mean, there are no ropes. They'll talk to you walking down the fairway after they hit a shot. Great setup here. I mean, there's a lot of vendors that are here and outdoor food and bars, and it's just a fabulous place.
Yeah, Jan Stevenson.
Jan's here. Yeah.
Joanne Carner.
Yeah.
You know, Donna Capone.
And I challenge anybody to find a better vista at any golf course in the country.
This is beautiful. Our setup here in the tent, Tim, is just gorgeous. We're looking down number one fairway behind the pavilion, which was built for originally this event and the PGA Senior PGA Championship.
So presented by KitchenAid.
Looking down number one, but you can see 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
You can.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, where we had the corporate hospitality tent, up on by the 11th, by 8, 9, 11, you can see 14 holes from that point.
Mm.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
very cool.
Well, maybe
very
Frankie
cool.
should take some pictures, put them on our Facebook page. There's an idea.
I'll do that. We'll get some pictures out there. And
you guys got
updated.
That Facebook thing?
Facebook?
Yeah. It's never going to last. That's a fad.
Hey, Al Gore invented that thing. And he's from Nashville.
He's from Nashville.
You know,
it used to be called French Lick.
Where did
V8 come from then?
V8?
V8.
Detroit.
Did Lee Perrin do the V? I always thought it was Lee and Perrin. It's Lee Perrin.
Yeah, Lee.
The Worcestershire sauce.
You're right, John. Yeah. Detroit.
Yeah.
Have you ever? You
that's
know
where
what?
The VA
used to be,
from,
used to be lubricant in the Model A.
That's right.
Well, in a passing thought, I would love to hear
drink it.
I would love to hear Lou Holtz say Worcestershire.
You'd have to back change up. Your microphone.
Yeah, back up.
You'd have to change your microphone.
Get a sheet of plastic out first.
I'm gonna send Fred Albers a note for their show on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio that we need. We're gonna call in and say,
"Hey, you play like a champion. Champions see everything in front of them. You must prepare to win and win."
Here we
prepare.
Go. We're out of control.
Do you have bowling balls? Do you have bowling balls?
No, don't go there. This is PGA Tour Radio. Do not go there. Don't go. Please don't go there.
Actually, one of the oldest bowling alleys in the United States is located in the French Lick Resort. Originally built in 1901. Pluto's Alley. It is open today.
Pluto's Alley.
Yeah, $2. It's $2 a game.
All right, boys and girls, we're really? About done. Yeah,
thank
because,
God.
Because we'll be done permanently if I don't call it a quiz right at this point. So.
Hey, thank you for your support, Tim. We really appreciate it.
No problem at all. For Brendan, for John Ashton, for Frank Bassett, Bobby Raymond, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks, everybody, for listening to us. You're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. And please join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.